This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's 1:31, and before 2 o'clock, somebody's going to get a chance at that trip, and that's outstanding. Looking forward to, you know, hearing about the winner and the good time they're having, and maybe they'd invite me. Oh, I'm just only teasing here. 3-2 now, the score, Islanders over Boston. Dennis King reported, and we got an update on Tuukka Rask injured in that game, and Kevin Paul Dumont says that it's going to be, or Dupont says it's going to be a body injury. So we're not sure how bad it is, but it could be serious. So we'll keep you updated on that. Islanders 3-2 over Boston on goals by Josh Bailey, Matt Molson, and John Tavares. Lucic and Tyler Seguin are the scorers for Boston in that game. And there's about 4:22 left in the third. Connor, what time are we going to give away that trip or the opportunity at the trip?
About.
I'm just saying. You don't have to tell me exactly. We got half an hour left in the show. You promised people they were going to win. There's a lot of pressure here.
Let's say
before 2 o'clock?
15 to 20.
15 to 20. All right. The vagaries of contesting. Yeah, okay.
15 to 30.
All right, that's good. Rod Peterson joins us from Sports Cage in Regina and CKRM Radio. Rod, how are you this afternoon?
Fantastic. How about you guys?
Very well. We're a little warmer here than we have been. It's about minus 2. What's it looking like down there?
You know what? Just about the same thing. Well, I think we're about minus 10 to 15. But if my tops of my ears aren't freezing, I'm happy.
Well, I lived in Regina for about 6 years, and minus 15, it feels like minus 10, so it's okay, right?
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Nice day for a walk in Wascana Park, right?
Exactly.
We've had tons of questions lately about Martin Marincin since he came to the Pats and how he's doing since the trade. How's he look to you? Is he moving the puck well?
Well, I'll tell you what, the Oilers, I got a steal, I think, in the second round with Martin Marincin. It's funny because at the World Juniors, I was watching him play for Latvia and never once thinking that he might end up being a Regina Pat. Mm-hmm. And he was, like, a week after the World Juniors concluded, and he was a two-time member of Latvia, as you know. He is a dazzling hockey player. I know the Pats haven't been through there since he was acquired from the Prince George Cougars, so the Oilers fans have been unable to see him. But at 6'6", it's very hard to imagine that he has the puck handling ability and can skate as well as he does unless you see him live. But guys, I'll tell you this. I remember Zdeno Chara when he was a rookie with the Prince George Cougars. He's a little bigger than Martin Marincin, but not a lot, and they're very, very similar players. So if Martin Marincin can go on and have the type of career that Zdeno Chara had, I think you guys would be pretty happy. But Martin is a better junior than Chara was right now.
The thing about Marincin when I first saw him was he was like a big pencil. He was very thin. Has he put on some bulk? I saw him at the World Juniors, and he seemed like he had. Is he physical? Is he more physical now than he maybe was a year ago?
Yeah, I think he's filled out a little bit, and I mean that's only natural. But when you're 18 years old and 6'6", that's why I say it's very hard to believe that his coordination has caught up with his growth. But now I think he's stopped going upwards and he's starting to grow a little wider. But I mean, the physical aspect of his game, I don't think will ever be really what Martin Marincin's about. He's pretty much all offense, and he's fearless too. I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to end up in the Oilers lineup at some time, probably in the near future, because I think they can use a player like that. But he doesn't panic. He's never afraid to pinch at the blue line. You're going to see him in front of the opposition net as much as you're going to see him in front of your own. And he's a big, big part of the Regina Pats power play. And he's become a fan favorite here. He's only been here for a month and a half.
Brandon Davidson is a very strong following among Oilers fans. A lot of it is because of his backstory, but he's also been a player of note here since being drafted. For a guy who started so late as a hockey player, how is it? Does he have any holes in his game? Is he a complete defenseman, or is he a puck mover too?
No, you know what? Ever since my brother played in the Western Hockey League with the Prince Albert Raiders and Calgary Wranglers, he doesn't go to a whole lot of Pats games, but when Brandon was a rookie, he sat with me and watched a game, and this is before he was drafted by the Oilers as an 18-year-old, and he said, "Who's that number three?" I said, "Brandon Davidson from Tabor, Alberta." He said, "He's the best player on the ice," and this was as a rookie, and he was not wrong, and Brandon has just come along exponentially. Another guy that I really feel is going to be on the Oilers' blue line down the line, too. I mean, you know, you're talking about a 29th place team, so there's going to be some holes open down the line.
Yep.
But he is the captain of this hockey club in Regina, a team with 95 years history. They don't hand out the C lightly to just anybody here. And Brandon Davidson is a tremendous captain. He's a guy that's been holding his teammates accountable because they went on a bit of a swoon here about 3 weeks ago where they only won 2 out of 10 games. And now they're one of the hotter teams in the division, and Brandon was is a big, big part of that. He probably logs 30 to 35 minutes of ice time a night. And you're right, he's got the offensive upside too, but he brings a lot more than Martin Marincin. Just as a leader, he's very physical, and he's very tough to get by on the blue line. He's a tremendous, tremendous defenseman.
Are Pats fans surprised that this team is so good this year based on the last couple of seasons?
I don't know about them, but I am. they missed the playoffs the last 3 years, and the way it was going, I thought it would be a 5-year playoff drought by the time they tasted postseason, not even success again, just being in it. And the last time any team did that was the Medicine Hat Tigers, you know, 12 years ago in the Jay Bouwmeester era. That was what I thought this franchise was teetering on. But lo and behold, not only does Chad Lang take over as general manager and make some exceptional personnel moves, but it's been the teachings and the calmness on the bench that Pat Conacher has brought. A guy that I knew nothing about other than he wore number 15 for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, yep.
And won a Stanley Cup with him in 1984, and how revered he is in Edmonton as an Oiler and in Calgary, which is his hometown. And I knew that he was an NHL journeyman and then a coach journeyman, but I never met the man. But at his introductory news conference back in July when he was hired, when he walked into the room, he's one of those guys that the whole room perked up, and he had your respect and your attention immediately, and I knew that this would translate into the dressing room, and it has. So you ask me, am I surprised the way it was going? Again, I didn't think they'd be in the playoffs for a long time. And now they sit eighth as they enter tonight's home game here against Brandon, but they got a comfortable lead over Red Deer. I think they're going to be in the playoffs. That is just a miracle in and of itself, the way things were headed and how it's been turned around. And then, hey, if they line up against the Edmonton Oil Kings, I don't need to tell you what they did against Edmonton this year, so look out.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting playoff this year in the Dub, there's no doubt.
More so than years past. You know, and they always say the first round of the playoffs is the best. So I personally hope they do face the Edmonton Oil Kings, and maybe we could get a good road trip out of it up to the Alberta Capitol. I don't know, but we got, what is it now, 8 games left, I guess, until playoffs. I can't wait.
Yeah, you know, it's coming quickly, too. I think Oil Kings fans would be happy with anybody but Medicine Hat based on last year. But you're right. The Pats are they're a coming team, and they're playing well. What's the feeling in Regina? I lived there during the Mike Sillinger era, and I remember the Pats being the game in town. Is it still that way?
No, not anywhere close to that.
Okay.
And then you lived in Regina then in a very, very good era of Regina Pats hockey. You know, they were winning a lot, and they were averaging a lot of fans. This team has been on the downside for basically the last decade. They finished first in one time in the last 10 years, and that was in 2008, and they did a first-round bow-out to the Swift Current Broncos. The Pats right now don't have a very large profile in this community for a variety of reasons, but I think the biggest is because they just haven't been winning, and because of that playoff drought. Now, my talk show, you mentioned off the start, is relatively new. We're not even 2 years old in this market, and I think, you know, we're really going to whip this town into shape and get people excited. The furthest this team's gone in my tenure with the team, I started calling games in 1995, was back in 95. They went to game 7 of the second round. That's the furthest they've gone since I moved back to Regina in 95, and that is just in the second round. And it was exciting. It was crazy that you couldn't get a ticket. People were hanging from the rafters. But we've seen nothing like that in well over a decade. Maybe, I guess, since the Memorial Cup in 2001 when they hosted. But that's changing now. The Riders had a down year, obviously, at 5-13, and it's kind of had people turn their attention to hockey now, finally, and we're getting some big crowds. And I really think that come playoff time, this town will be jumping and back on the Pats bandwagon, but they haven't been for a while.
Rod, let's look a little north here. Saskatoon made news this week. Talk of a group making some inquiries about an NHL team. What's your response to that?
I think you just heard it. Listen, I'm all for it. I I was just stunned that it kind of has come about this way. I mean, I think if the National Hockey League is going to survive long term, and I'm talking with the changes that will need to be made 10 to 15 years down the road, Saskatoon could be in the picture then. But I think that is when all the other markets that are looking for teams have been exhausted, whether it's Quebec City, Seattle, Kansas City, Las Vegas. I think anybody would put those cities ahead of Saskatoon in terms of a destination to put an NHL franchise. The way I looked at it was once those cities were exhausted and had teams or were deemed unfit, the league would approach Saskatoon and say, hey, could you make it work? Not the other way around.
Right.
Not Saskatoon approaching the National Hockey League and saying, we'd like to apply for franchise relocation. It's absolutely senseless to me. And I don't know how closely you guys have been watching it, but it was just 3 weeks ago that Saskatoon was unveiled, has been spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on a feasibility study to get a CFL team.
Wow.
And that was actually even bigger news, I think, maybe within this province, but maybe not so much outside of it. But it's kind of been the basis of my show the last 2 days and on my website. It's just, Saskatoon, just go away. Don't call us. We'll call you. That's kind of my take on the whole thing. But I'd love a team there. Why wouldn't I? But a lot of things got to happen before that happens.
Well, I'm married to a Rough Rider fan, and I can tell you what her reaction will be when I tell her, and it's not good. I don't think there's a lot of Rough Rider fans who are like, the Saskatchewan is the Rough Riders. I can't even make sense of that. You know, they'll probably call them the Rough Riders, but other than that,
I want more teams in the league, whether it be in Kelowna, Ottawa, Halifax. I'm talking about the CFL. I just want more teams because I think an 8-team league is a joke. But whether it's CFL or NHL, Saskatoon, they may be closer to an NHL team because they have an arena ready.
Mm-hmm.
They have an arena ready with 15,000 seats in the Credit Union Center. But at a province of a million people in a city of Saskatoon that's not even 300,000, you're asking a lot. It's just, in today's NHL, it's just not going to fly.
No, I agree with you. I think it's at the very least a long shot. Let's talk about something that is in Saskatoon and is happening. I think is Draw One like an hour away for the...
What time is it now? It's on. It's on right now.
Oh, is it? Okay. Darn it. I'm missing something. Oh, well, anyway. So can you handicap the Brier for me a little bit? I know Alberta, we have high hopes for the Alberta team. Who looks good? I know that probably Ontario's looking pretty good. How's the Saskatchewan team look?
Well, to be honest with you, I only did a little research on this because you told me you wanted to talk about it. I am not the world's largest curling fan, although I will watch it. And when we've had Briars and Scotties and Regina, I've gone to them. But you asked how Saskatchewan's looking. We got a first-time Brier participant in Scott Manners, a 39-year-old grain farmer from Lloydminster,
mm-hmm.
who has never won the provincial tankard before, and he clearly is. Well, he's not projected to be among the favorites. I got some very close friends that are on the curling beat and follow it daily, and that includes Murray McCormick of the Regina Leader Post, Alan Cameron of the Calgary Herald, and Jim Bender of the Winnipeg Sun. And I've been reading their coverage, and they all feel that it's Glenn Howard's Brier to lose. I mean, he's been absolutely on fire. He's leading the World Curling Tour, as you probably know, reigning Canada Cup of Curling champion. Glenn Howard is just so loaded with Wayne Madaw as his third. I think it's Glenn Howard's tankard to lose. And then you mentioned Alberta, Kevin Cooey, who's curling out of Calgary now. I'm paying somewhat attention because Pat Simmons, our many five-time Saskatchewan champion, has bolted our province and is playing on the Cooey rink, playing third. They're saying it's either Howard or Cooey, and then you got Brad Gushue out of Newfoundland. So
yeah.
There's, your top three, the regular names that I think will be standing in the end. But Jamie Cooey out of the Territories, it seems like he's at the Brier every year, has yet to win. It's a good field, and I think the curling will be great, but I don't think there'll be an upset. But you never know. And the one thing we're really watching is that Saskatchewan has not won a Brier since 1980.
Yeah.
And the legendary Rick Folk curling team, who is a Saskatoon guy, let's see if the drought ends this year, 32 years later. That is the talk. But Scott Manners, nobody has ever heard of him until he won the province here a couple of weeks back. We're pulling for him, of course, but he's certainly not a favorite.
Rod, thanks so much for this. I appreciate it. We'll have you back soon.
Yeah, call anytime. I enjoyed it.
Okay, sounds good. That's Rod Peterson from Sports Cajun Regina, CKRM Radio and the Voice of Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Great blog, too. You want to check out his blog. He's I lived in Saskatchewan in Regina, so I'm always checking out Regina stuff. And he has the pulse of the city as far as the sports scene is concerned. He does a great job. We thank him for that. Going to take a break now. We're really late because of me. This is Nation Radio presented by Edmonton Motors.